Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. And every week, our colleagues from the Straits Times talk us through the biggest headline coming out of Singapore for the week. More singles, fewer babies, and the slowest decade of population growth since 1965. These were some of the many findings stated in the first statistical release by the Department of Statistics earlier this week on the country's census of the population in 2020. The census, which is Singapore's largest national statistical exercise, is carried out once a decade to gather demographics, social and economic data, among others. For more insights, we speak to Justin Ong, political correspondent for The Straits Times. Justin, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Howie. Thanks for having me.
Let's start by unpacking some of the key findings then from the census. First up on the list, Singapore records its slowest population growth since independence. Tell us more.
Right, so Howie, so as you pointed out just now, the census is conducted every 10 years. And so from 2010 to 2020, Singapore's total population actually rose from about 5.1 million to 5.7 million. This is a growth of 1.1% each year. So this makes it the lowest decade of growth since independence. For example, growth in the previous decade was 2.5% per annum. And from 1990 to 2000, it was 2.8% each year. So from what we've gathered and from history and from looking at the records, yes, this figure of 1.1% is the lowest growth to date. So that's what I mean.
And that would be because people are staying single, those married having fewer babies, right? That's the implication.
Right. And this is actually not new at all. So there are more singles across all the ages, especially in the younger ages of 25 to 34. Other interesting things to note, there was actually a higher proportion of younger single men than women. And education has a big part to play in this as well, in both singlehood and in terms of having babies. If you're a man with lower education qualifications, you're actually more likely to stay single. If you're a woman, it's the opposite. The lower your education profile, the less likely you'll stay single. In terms of having babies, women, if they were more educated, have had fewer children over the years. Again, this is not surprising. We know that the average number of children born to uni grads has been steadily declining, while the proportions of those without children has been climbing. But overall, yes, as you say, it does look like people are having fewer children. In terms of the exact number, those having three kids, the proportions of those have fallen, and for those having just one child, it's increased over the years. Now, obviously, this is a complex and multifaceted issue, but we know also that some of the reasons raised over the years in Singapore, specific to Singapore, have included factors like financial stress, educational worries, couples marrying later, and so on and so forth.
Speaking of education, you mentioned the report showed that Singaporeans in general are better educated. The women are also closing the gap with each successive cohort. And English is gaining ground as the language most used at home as well. Explain those profiles to us, Justin.
Right. So for the women, what it means in simple English really is that the younger the woman, the more educated. To give an example, for those above 55 years of age, if you have 23% of women with at least post-secondary academic credentials versus 34% for men. But when you go further down the ages and you look at the age group of 25 to 34, the proportion of better educated women is actually 90.2%. That's marginally higher than men at 90%. And of course, some men in this age group could still be pursuing higher education after completing their NS. But what these trends do show us is that there has been a narrowing of the education gap between women and men. Now, on the other point on English use, right? This year's, or rather the latest census, shows that nearly half of residents now speak English most frequently at home. That's up from about 30% a decade ago. At the same time, we're seeing a decline in the use of Mandarin and Chinese dialects as the first choice language at home. And in fact, for a large proportion of Chinese residents, this was the first time that English replaced Mandarin as the most commonly spoken language at home. And this looks like it will happen for the Malay residents as well. About 60% of Malay residents still use their mother tongue at home, But this has been falling over the years, while English use for them is rapidly on the rise.
Right. And there was another finding, talk us through it, that a good 20% of Singapore residents had no religion in 2020. It's a bump from the 17% a decade ago. Why is that?
Yep. So these findings pertaining to religion, they are not all that surprising as well. It's a trend that's continued over the years. We still see that a larger proportion identify themselves as Buddhists, followed by Christians and then Muslims, Taoists, and then Hindus. So there's still a good amount of religious diversity, but as you say, there are more and growing numbers of Singaporeans who are actually would prefer to say that they have no religious affiliation at all. A number that's gone up from 15% to 17% and then to 20% in 2020, and across all age groups at that.
Also, do we know the reasons why population data is categorized in this manner? Ethnicity, race-based data, for example?
Yes, so ethnic categorization has been the subject of discussion for some time now, including on matters like whether the CMIO, that's Chinese, Malay, Indian, others, whether that CMIO framework still remains relevant today. We have one side of the fence which says that it will be more useful to focus data points on socioeconomic indicators rather than race. And these people also point out that even within ethnic groups, there are sharp divides. The government, on the other hand, they believe that race-based data will help them identify which groups are lagging and which areas to intervene in. Mm. Their view is that this will help them address the issues in a more meaningful way, for example, through specific cultural or ethnic terms relating to each group.
So with what we've got now, Justin, how will these figures impact Singapore in the future?
Well, that's actually the main focus of an entire set of stories which are coming out tomorrow. And without giving too much away, I would say that broadly...
Oh, come on.
Broadly relating to the trends that you've identified, at least in the last few minutes, as I said at the beginning, most of these trends are actually not new, and policymakers would have been keeping tabs on them for some time now. For example, in the case of rising singlehood, it's likely that singles will continue to look beyond Singapore's shores and thus for the number of cross-cultural marriages to go up, and that would have effects on our societal fabric. For low birth rates, you know, government incentives can only go so far, and there have long been calls for society to adjust its mindset, its expectations when it comes to child raising and the very definition of success. And the other areas of education and employment. So the positive outlook in those areas, it does point to women contributing even more to the economy, which would then again have ripple effects on areas like caregiving and parenting. And we spoke a bit more about people being better educated. And with the number of degrees, university degrees going up, I think that also leads to questions around, you know, a possible oversupply of graduates, even the potential underemployment, a mismatch of pay expectations, and all the resulting repercussions. For everything else, I guess I'll just have to ask your listeners to look out for these pieces tomorrow, both online and in print.
Gee, thanks. Justin, appreciate your insights and your time today. Please stay safe.
Thank you, Howie.
Justin Ong, political correspondent, The Straits Times. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.